Let's take a look over at Matthew chapter 24. Matthew chapter 24. And we've been taking a look at the signs of the times that are in that particular passage. Last week we looked at a couple of three or four verses in here. Let me go ahead and remind us of where we are and see if we can cover some new country tonight. It says, and Jesus, and Jesus went out and departed from the temple, and his disciples came to see him, for to show him the buildings of the temple. And Jesus said unto them, see ye not all these things? Verily I say unto you, there shall not be left here one stone upon another that shall not be thrown down. And as he sat upon the Mount of Olives, his disciples came unto him privately, saying, tell us, when shall these things be? And what shall be the sign of your coming, thy coming, and of the end of the world? And then Jesus gives a response, and the response is several things that we will see as signs of the times. What are we looking for? He's answering the question, when will these things be? First thing that they want to know is, when's that temple going to be destroyed? When's the temple going to be destroyed? Like you said, it was going to be destroyed there. The second thing is, what shall be the sign of thy coming? Parousia. When are you going to set up your rule on this earth? And the third thing that they want to know, when is the end of the world going to come? When is the end of this age going to be? So the three questions that they're asking is, temple, when's that going to happen? What are the signs that you're going to set up your kingdom on this earth, which is the second coming? Second coming is a major doctrine in the Word of God. 1,200 times in the Old Testament, the second coming of Christ is talked about. And 300 times in the New Testament, prophecies concerning the second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. Second coming and the rapture are two separate events. Rapture precedes the second coming by 7 years. Exactly 7 years. And then comes the second coming. Second coming is Jesus coming to this earth, makes a perfect two-point landing on the Mount of Olives, walks down through the eastern gate of Jerusalem and sets up his kingdom there in the holy city at that point. That ushers in a period of time of 1,000 years. Peace on earth during those days. Peace on earth. And goodwill toward men. And a 1,000-year reign, the millennial kingdom, some would call that, followed by judgment, great white throne judgment. Lots of other events that are sprinkled in there, but those are the main touch points or touchstones of things. And so the one thing that we're waiting for tonight is the rapture of the church, catching away believers in Christ, which will usher in tribulation and the great tribulation and all of those horrific events which will culminate in the second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ to this earth. So I'm really not looking for the undertaker tonight. I'm looking for the upper taker and looking forward to the flight as we talk about that. But in this passage, he's trying to give an account of things that are coming ahead, and Jesus kind of clues the folks in about what's coming. The first sign that he says, and he gives account of here, the first sign of his coming, there in verse 4 and 5, and Jesus answered and said unto them, take heed that no man deceive you, for many shall come in my name, saying, I'm Christ, and shall deceive many. And ye shall hear of wars and rumors of wars, and see that you be not troubled, for all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. We're going to get over into that in just a minute. So the first of the signs of his coming that he gives here is the signs of deception. Signs of deception in verses 4 and 5. Many are going to come in my name saying, I'm Christ, and are going to deceive many. Talking about false Christs, talking about those that are antichrist, those that are, the word anti in that means instead of and over against. Instead of and against, which is are the antichrists that are coming, and these folks are deceivers. And they will deceive the deceived folks. We talked a little bit about that last week. I threw out some names like David Koresh and Sun Young Moon and Jim Jones and different ones that have set themselves up as the Messiah. In the last 50 years, there have been at least 1,100 notable persons who have claimed to be a Christ in the last 50 years. I'm not just talking about somebody in some little small corner of the world. I'm talking about notable individuals who have claimed to be the Messiah. And so these deceptions are occurring, and they're continuing to occur. These deceivers are continuing to stir things up with different ones. A lot of deceivers that are out there, those that don't understand the scriptures, those that are going contrary to the word of God, and such as that even in our day. When was it? A couple of weeks ago, a fellow by the name of Pat Robertson claimed that the election was going to be our last one because everything was going to wrap up with an asteroid hitting the earth and all of this sort of thing. And so, you know, folks that just don't get it sometimes about making these predictions and things of this nature. One of the things that we know about Pat is he's probably wrong because he's made predictions that didn't come true a lot of times with things. And for a prophet to be a true prophet, he has to be correct how much of the time? 100% of the time. And so there's a lot of stuff out here that gets kicked around, a lot of deceivers. So what this is pointing to is that at the end of the age, that's the third piece of that, the end of the age, the end of the eon. What we're talking about here is the church age. Church age was ushered in at Pentecost when the Holy Spirit was given and dwelling believers on this earth. And that church age will end at the rapture of the church. And so we're looking for that event. There's nothing that has to happen before the rapture can occur tonight. There's not one more event. There's not a red heifer that has to die. There's not a particular one thing that has to happen on this earth before the Lord Jesus can come get his own. Everything's in order. He can come now. He can come now. There is nothing that has to happen. There's nothing more that has to transpire. These are just simply signs that point to the very end of the age that Jesus is giving us here. And he's saying that in the end of that age, he's saying that there's going to be deceivers and there's going to be a bunch of them. And they're going to be prolific. They're going to be on the earth. They're going to confuse things. And it's going to get bad in a very deceptive way. And I believe that if we're really honest in looking around, that we're looking at that in those days, where deceivers have come. Remember 1 John chapter 4. Apostle John tells us that we need to do a test. He says, "Hereby know you the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is of God." His first pointer in that is saying, test the spirit, because if it's a spirit, if somebody's telling you that Jesus, that Messiah or someone is now coming, you can know that that individual is not of the right spirit because Jesus has already come. That's the point he's making here. Jesus has already come. And he's not coming in this way again. When he comes, it'll be completely different when he sets up his reign and rule. And every spirit that confesseth not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is not of God. And this is the spirit of Antichrist, over against and instead of Christ, whereof you've heard that it shall come, and even now already is in the world. There's a test that has to be put upon these deceivers that are out here doing all of these things. So that's the first of the signs of the times that he gives us. The deceivers, the deceptions, deceivers that are everywhere. The second sign of the time that he gives us in verse 6 and the first part of verse 7. "And you shall hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that you be not troubled, for all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. For nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom." So the next sign of the time is division. Division on this earth. Much division. Let me say this to you. If peace comes before Jesus does, then Jesus is a liar. If worldwide peace comes before Jesus comes, then you know that Jesus lied to us. Because what he says is that there will be divisions. And that will mark the end of the age. That this church age will be marked by divisions. That there won't be one day of world peace. Not one day until the Prince of Peace comes and sets up his kingdom on this earth. And so if something like that occurs and looks like it's like it has happened and transpired before your very eyes, as it will, in the first 3 years of the tribulation period, then what one thing you can know is, at that point, you'll have to do a checkup, because if it transpires during that, either Jesus was a liar or you missed him because you weren't saved. You understand what I'm saying there? So if you find out that there's world peace and you're still here, what I might do is check up on me, all right, quick, because you in a heap of trouble at that point with all of that. Peace comes before Jesus does, then Jesus is a liar. We've been plagued by wars all over the place. So there are more than 40 armed conflicts on the planet tonight. More than 40 places, hotspots in this world where armed conflicts, civil wars, major conflicts are taking place on this globe. In Yemen, in Syria, in Iraq, civil wars there have killed over 900,000 people in the last 8 years. You don't get that in the news very often. 900,000 people have died in the last 8 years in those three countries because of civil wars that are taking place in those countries. Over 40 places where things like that on this globe are taking place here tonight. Our globe is in a state of division, plain and simple. Scripture even tells us about that over in Zechariah. He talks about it in the Middle East and about Jerusalem. Zechariah 12, verse 2 says, "Behold, I will make Jerusalem a cup of trembling unto all the people round about, when they shall be in the siege, both against Judah and against Jerusalem. And in that day I'll make Jerusalem a burdensome stone for all people. All that burden themselves with it shall be cut in pieces, though all the people of the earth be gathered together against it." This is talking about these latter days where Jerusalem is going to be the focal point of every conflict, and every bad actor has their eyes on and against Jerusalem with things. And we see that playing out before us on a pretty much a daily basis with all of that. So the signs of the times is deception, deceivers. The second part of that is division. And then in the latter part of verse 7 and verse 8, we see the next sign of the time. That says, "And there shall be famines and pestilences and earthquakes in diverse or different places." All these are the beginning of sorrows, he says. So the next sign of the time, of the end of the age, that he gives us here are disasters. Disasters are going to occur. The first thing that it mentions here is famine. Do you realize that we're in a time right now of unprecedented famine in this world? Unprecedented. It's never been like this before. There's two reasons for the famines that we have in this world now. Number one is environment. The earth is the earth is not going to get any better, by the way. Okay? I'm not an anti-environmentalist or any of that sort of thing, but I've read the book. And my Bible tells me that this present earth and heaven are going to pass away, that it is going to melt with a fervent heat. This earth is fallen. Man fell, but also nature fell in the garden. And so we're a long ways away from the Garden of Eden. Things this earth, the center of it, has energy. There is mass. There is a vibrancy that is in the center of this earth. It has energy, and it releases that energy. And that energy is constantly massaging, moving things around. It is constantly trying to press out of this earth. God alone holds everything together at this point. Okay, and so the environment itself, people that are much smarter than me that measure certain things, tell us that the topsoil around the earth is dissipating. That the nutrients and things that are in that topsoil are dissipating. That they're going away. That the yield on the earth is less, getting less and less and less. Topsoil is becoming more sterile and producing less, and we're using more chemicals to make it do more, and such as this. And so it's in a tough thing. So the environment that we are living in, which is not going to get any better, and it's finite. This thing's going to last as long as it needs to last, to the last day that God needs it to last, and not 1 second longer than all of that. It is not going to get better. We can't heal it. It is fallen. It is groaning. It is going away. It's going to last as long as it needs to, but it's not going to be here forever. And so we do have a responsibility in doing all that we can to make sure that we do our part with taking care of what God has put us here to rule over. But we have to also understand that there's a priority and a pecking order for everything as well. And the human is at the top of that pecking order. It is the welfare of the human first that takes precedent over everything. So I get off on this one pretty hard and you get off out in there, because it bothers me to see folks that think that we can heal Mother Earth and heal these things that God has told us is not going to be around. And that we are to make certain priorities that we are not making as priorities in our national discussion and in our global discussions today. So the first thing that creates these disasters is the environment that we're living in. And the second is, go back to number one, go back to the last sign, divisions, wars and conflicts, and such as that. Famines, there are 27 nations that world organizations have identified, 27 nations that are in extreme famine at this point. Most of the Middle East is involved in that, and over in Africa as well. And we're talking about somewhere in the neighborhood around 200 million people involved in extreme famines today. Famine is a huge thing. There's another cause for famines today as well. And that is the response that the globe has had to the COVID situation. The lockdown of nations, and this lockdown that has occurred globally, has also lent itself to famine in these areas. So you've got a global response to that. You have environmental issues that are part of it, and then the divisions. Now, the divisions are important because when there's conflict in these nations, that prevents any aid or help from getting from one point to another. Certain people say, no way, this isn't coming in. They capture it, hold it ransom, and don't let it into the other side of this and these civil wars and stuff. Why? Because they want to prevail in the situation. So there's all kinds of issues that go along with that, but we're seeing these things played out before us. The next thing that is mentioned there is pestilences. What are pestilences? Well, pestilences are diseases that are have a high mortality rate to them. Prior to what we know showed up on the scene here 7-8 months ago, a pestilence that was wreaking havoc across the globe was a little thing called AIDS. That was the big pestilence that was taking place in those days. It's still there, and it's still wreaking havoc in the world today as well. But now we have another pestilence that has showed up on the scene. A pestilence that is a coronavirus that is creating issues and creating problems with that. And so these disasters, this disaster is also causing other issues as well. And it shows up in one of the next signs of the times. When we get there, I'll refer back to that. The other disasters that are talked about are earthquakes. There are so many earthquakes taking place on the globe on a daily, weekly, monthly, yearly basis now. You wouldn't believe it if I told you. Look it up on Google sometime. See how many earthquakes are taking place around you. Okay. According to the latest statistics, there are over 50 a year that reach 7.0 in magnitude or greater. We don't hear about half of them that are taking place. These are increasing intensity and increasing in numerically as we move along in the spectrum here. So these are signs of the times. Everything that we're talking about, famine, is increasing and going global. Pestilence is increasing, going global. We've got earthquakes that are increasing and global in nature and in magnitude as well. And so, signs of the times, very current, and we're right up with them. And the end of the age must be kind of somewhere in the neighborhood, wouldn't you think? The next thing that he tells us is a sign of the age is in verse 9. Then shall they deliver you up to be afflicted, and shall kill you, and you'll be hated of all nations for my name's sake. That's defamation. Defamation is another sign of the time. What that's talking about is when you stand for Jesus, you stand to be killed. Okay? We're living in a time. You would think that back in the Middle Ages and back in those days when everything was real rough and brutal, that those were the days that martyrdoms and all of that sort of thing took place. But we're living in an age today of unprecedented numbers of Christians being killed in this world. Unprecedented numbers. World War II, for 1 year during World War II, there were 10 million people killed for their faith. We eclipse that now. Things that are taking place in places like China and Iran and Iraq and Somalia and all around in these places, that we're eclipsing those numbers today with Christians being killed for their faith. Defamation. And the biggest reason for that, obviously, is this, that the Christians believe that there's only one way. We're not willing to give up on that one way. Jesus said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. If we come off of that, everybody kind of leave us alone. Yeah. But we got to stick with that. And when you stick with that, that puts a death sentence on you in many of these places around the globe. It is a death sentence to spout the name of Jesus and stand by it. Defamation is the next sign of the times. And verse 10 is the next one. And then shall many be offended, and shall betray one another, and shall hate one another. Betray one another and hate one another. That's talking about desertion. Desertion is another sign of the time. So there will come a time when you stand for Jesus, it'll kill you. Okay? But what happens is, when it comes to those days, is that folks, many will desert. They'll desert the cause. What that says is that they really weren't with us to begin with. When you see folks deserting the church, when you see folks deserting Jesus, who had previously seemed to be standing in that area, then you can know that this is one of the signs of the times, that things are moving toward the end of the age. I have to point this out. Yeah, along with that, because there's so many that kind of dovetail in with the corona and COVID business right here. And what I'm seeing across, and it's not just me, it's across this land, that when folks got hit, punched in the mouth with all of this right here, the return to the things of God has been very, very slow. Very, very slow. And it appears to me that there might be a number of folks who we counted as part of the family of God who weren't part of the family of God, who deserted when things went a little different. And so this desertion thing, we're seeing some of that now, where folks are deserting the faith and moving away from this and betraying this confidence and this trust that we thought they had. In other words, what it seems to me is that we had churches full of empty people. Churches full of empty people. If you remember, I talked about that early on in this process, that this might be a weeding out process for the family of God. That it might weed those out that were sitting on the fence, those that were not really committed, those that were just kind of fair weather friends of the Lord, if you will. And don't put me in the same classification as Pat Robertson, okay, with that. But I thought I might see some of that, and I believe that we've seen it. That there are those that just kind of fade off out into the, right off into the sunset with things who we thought were, you know, there and solid in some places. And so this is a sign of the time. This is one of those things that will be happening with regularity at the end of the age. I'll go ahead and give you the last two, and then we'll go to the last couple of three, and we'll go on to something else. Verse 11, and many false prophets shall rise and shall deceive many. Disinformation. And this is talking about false prophets, okay? And so false prophets aren't necessarily false messiahs, as we read out earlier, that's religious in nature. But false prophets, that's just talking about people in authority. When people in authority begin to put more stock in the words and the actions of man than they do in the words and actions of God, then these are false prophets. And we have plenty of that going on as well. Lending more authority to man and man's ways. That just escaped me. Term humanism. Humanism and such as that, rather than what God says and how God wants to go about things. So this is talking about, that's what false prophet is, disinformation in that. Verse 12, and because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. That's talking about depravity, is what that's about, another sign of the time. Just the total depravity of mankind becomes much more obvious before the second coming of the Lord. Job 15:16 talks about that, talks about iniquity and lawlessness and such as that, and that's what depravity is about. Lawlessness is what it's talking about here. And again, turn your TV on, look at some of the major cities and what's going on in all of that, and even to a smaller degree, even our beloved San Antonio went through some of those with lawlessness and things that were taking place in that. And so this is another sign of the time. The depravity of man leads to a lawlessness and a lawless behavior in the society that we're supposed to be, law-abiding citizens in. All right, and then the last thing that it talks about, but he shall endure unto the end, the same shall be saved. And this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world for witness unto all nations, and then shall the end come. So it gives us a last thing here. Right before that it says it will endure to the end. So what I want you need you to know about that is that those that are saved, those that are Christians, are going to endure to the end. Okay? They don't endure to the, they don't make it to the end to prove that they're a Christian. They're Christians that make it to the end. And then it goes on to talk about a declaration. And so the last of the signs of the times that it gives us here are declarations. And what this is talking about is saying all of these other things are going to happen, but here's the last one that's going to show up. And the last one that shows up as a sign of the time is that the gospel is going to be preached in every nation. every ethne, E-T-H-N-A, nation is what it's talking, what it's saying there. That the gospel is going to be preached in all nations, not to every person, but to all ethne, all ethnicities, all nations, is what it's saying. This was not possible until here recently, okay? It is possible today. And it has been possible for a little while now because of radio and because of TV and because of the reach of communications and all the things that we have today, that there is not a nation, not an ethne on the planet that hasn't had the gospel put into it. Now, everybody inside that nation may have not heard, but to that nation, the gospel has been sent. So there's not another thing that needs to happen before the Lord can return. These are the signs of the times. There's not one of them missing. Not a one of them missing. And for the most part, all of them are intensifying. And the intensity of these things is bringing us to something at the latter end. What does it say? It says that the Lord will come then. That the Lord will come. Now, I'm not setting a date, but I am telling you this. I'm looking for it. Because I can't help but believe that He's at the door. Waiting to wrap this thing up. It wouldn't be too soon for me. Trust it wouldn't be too soon for you. But here's the deal. In light of that, what do we do? What do we do with that? What do we do with the information that we have with that? Well, here's the one thing that comes to my mind. I might be okay, but there's people that aren't. You may be okay in your relationship with the Lord, and I trust and hope that you are. But what about people that you love? And who are you supposed to love anyway? Who is your neighbor? Now, who are you supposed to love as yourself? Well, I can guarantee you we all have people that we love or are supposed to love as we love ourselves who aren't included in that number. And so it's incumbent upon us to be a part of that declaring army that last verse talks about there, to be declaring His glory and declaring His way of salvation to all the nations, to everyone that we come in contact with. So these, in a Cliff Note version, are the signs of the times that Jesus tells His disciples about. And by virtue of us being His children as well and disciples, He's telling us about tonight. Right? Watch your TV with fresh eyes. See what's going on around you with freshness. And then use that as a springboard to reach out to people that you love and care about. Bring them to the place of understanding that Jesus is the only way. Amen. Thoughts, comments, or complaints as we wrap up? I thank y'all for being here tonight. And we'll start something. I like to do series on Wednesday night, so we'll probably start a series in the next week or two and see if we can't stay with something here for a while as we move through. Y'all good? Let's stand for prayer. And get you on that.